Happy Father's Day to all the dads and the grandpas and the uncles and the prayer partners and the Sunday school teachers, all the men. We thank you for the way you influence our children. So we want to say special Happy Father's Day to one and all. A few announcements we'll make as we get started this morning. We'd like to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, check the correct boxes, then send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to that last person, if you could send it back to where it got started this morning. We do ask, when it comes back to that first person who filled it out, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Several announcements we want to make. Highlight a couple of things. We are having children's time today during the service. Come right up here and see me for a few moments. No Sunday evening stuff. In honor of Father's Day, we want families to stay home and enjoy that time together. The summer schedule is in full effect. Tuesday is our preschool day camp begins. Registration for that is still going on. That is for babies through kindergartners. We are still looking for some adults to help us with that. If you're able to help, please call or email me with some. We need some nursery workers, additional help with that. Then Wednesday, our high school graduates are headed out on their senior trip. And then Wednesday night, we're having Fielder's Choice, our summer Bible study. At 6:30 will be a cookout, followed by 7 o'clock with the Bible study. There will be Bible study activities for children. And then for the youth, we will meet from 9 until 11 o'clock for late night at the park. So everything starts off this week. Sports camp for our elementary age children starts next Monday, be Monday through Friday. And several other things are listed there in your bulletin. And I want you to make note of those things. Big Rod, you got an announcement this morning? I had a feeling you might.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
That's very good. I'm glad to be here. Last Sunday, you know, I bugged out because my hearing aids both went out. But I'm here to talk to you about our summer mission project. We've got a bulletin board up there in the hall on Smith Hall and a sign-up sheet for those of you who are going to come and go with us. We need to get those names as soon as we can. We are a little short on our money. We have had $5,000 left over from last year, and that's what we committed for building materials for the ramps, and that's already been committed. And we're going to need another $1,000 to go with that to round out the food committee and the miscellaneous items that we'll need. So if you feel led to do so, if you don't want to do it just to donate it, you can remember my birthday. It was May the 27th and make a donation in my name. But we really do need your help. And we're looking forward to a different type building project this year. And I think you'll find that we're going to do well with that. Thank you.
Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. for the next 5 or 6 weeks, we will be meeting to do the study 1,000 Gifts. 1,000 Gifts is all about being thankful and giving thanks no matter what your circumstances or what's going on in your life, seeing God in the little things, even when the big things are tough. So I invite you to join us for that. Also, next Sunday night, right here at 7 p.m., the youth choirs from First Baptist Chattanooga, Tennessee, and Smoke Rise Baptist Church from Stone Mountain, Georgia, will be here singing for us. You know some of the people that will be coming. Jeff Parker is the director at First Chattanooga, and I believe a good bit of his family, if not all of them, are coming with him. So we invite you to come and to hear them sing, to fellowship with one another and with them as well. I also am in need, if any of you can take a couple of girls for a night as well. They will sing Sunday night. We are going to house some girls in homes, and then we will need somebody to bring them back in the morning. So if you have space and can house a couple of teenage girls for 12 hours or so, we would love for you to do that. And if you will get in touch with me and let me know that you are able to do that, I'd appreciate it.
Okay. I think that's all the announcements. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We appreciate the information that you gave to us on the pew pad. These ushers here, they would like to give something to you. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So thank you for especially being a part of worship this day. Anybody get hit by a storm this week? Anybody? We were lucky enough to have our power come back on last night about 8:30. And I found out while we were staying with our in-laws, or my in-laws in Kernersville. And needless to say, Matthew and all of us, when you're out of sorts and you're not in your normal place, it just kind of makes everything not feel right. Have you ever had those kinds of days when it's just not going right? Things aren't in the right order of things, and you're not at your house, you don't have your stuff. And I was reminded of that. This is not our home. As believers in Christ, this is not all there is. God has so much for us. And I was reminded when we were displaced, put away from our normal stuff, that God is reminding us we are not meant for this place. There's something building inside of us. When we come to worship, this is practice for eternity. This is what we're going to be doing for all of time. So when we come to worship, let's give everything that we have. May it not be just something that we do, but may this time of worship be done with the perspective it's what we're going to do forever and ever and ever, because it's what we were made to do. Let us prepare for worship. Will you pray with me? Father, we do bring the sacrifices of joy. We praise you. We worship you. We thank you for just your very presence in this place makes everything make sense. And so, Father, as we worship you, as we sing songs of praise to you, as we listen for your voice, as we hear your word proclaimed, may this be done with everything that we have. May this not be just routine. May what we do in worship be an outpouring of how we feel of our gratitude for you. Be in this place, we pray. We beg of you to come into this sanctuary. For in your presence, everything makes sense. And in your presence is where we want to be. In Jesus' name we pray.
Stand up and look at all the men. Fellas, wave
Wave down here. See all those guys? See all up in the balcony? See them all up there? Skip me, you gotta wave. Okay, all right. Everybody sit down. Sit down. I want you to know something. Everybody's listening. Hold on. Everybody's. All those people that just waved at you, everybody who just waved at you, back in the freeze, everybody who just waved at you loves you, wants to teach you about God, wants to protect you, wants to show you all kinds of cool things. Those people that just waved at you, they pray for you all the time. Those people that wave at you, they've been Sunday school teachers. They've been mission leaders. They have been people that go to Grifton and they work to teach people about Jesus. And so here's something we're going to do for all those men. For all those men. You see this? What does that look like? It looks like a tie. Does it fit? No. Kind of. Well, what we've done for all the men in our church, we have made a donation to the Mentoring Project. There are lots of kids that don't have men like this in their life that love them, protect them, and teach them. And so on behalf of all the men in our church, we have made a donation to the Mentoring Project. And they work with kids who don't have men like this. So, and it's, you can go to don'tbuythetie.com, okay? And you can donate even more money on behalf of the men in our lives who take care of us. We want you guys to know how thankful we are as people of College Park for the men in our church. We are thankful to God for all that you have done and for Him putting you in our lives. Let's pray together. God, we love you and we thank you for the men that are in our lives. Dads, uncles, teachers, people that look after us. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless those who do not have those type of men in their lives. Help us to be the kind of men that honor you in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Back to our seats.
And today we read from Proverbs about wisdom, as a father would be giving wisdom to a son. So I'll be reading from Proverbs 2, 1 through 11, and also 20 through 22, if you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, the page listed in the bulletin. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. And then moving to verse 20, thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the unfaithful will be torn from it. May God add his blessing to the reading of this, his word. And would you join me in prayer together? Oh, Father God, we thank you so much for being our loving Heavenly Father. And we thank you that we can be joined together in worship today, to come to worship you, you from whom we receive so much peace and joy and strength. And on this special day, we give thanks for all of the fathers, for all of the fathers that have invested love and support and time and energy in guiding us and loving us, who've nurtured us through the years. And we thank you that we also usually have several father figures through our lives that we can turn to for wisdom and guidance, for comfort, for friendship, and we thank you for those also. Thank you, God, for providing wisdom through your hand, through your guidance for each of us, and for being a father to us all. And Lord, we just come and we just lift up to you our thankful heart for the way that you've helped us through these days and the storm days. And we pray for all of those who are suffering from raging fires and storms sweeping across the country, which reminds us that we are not in control of our lives, but know indeed you see the big picture in your omniscience, and you have the wisdom to guide us when we need to come to you and ask which way to go and how to sustain others and ourselves. And you're there to give us what we need, and we thank you for that. Thank you that we can call upon you day or night, whether we're in a happy place and having a great day, or whether we're in the valley and trying to recover from something that's just knocked us off our feet. You are there for us, giving us what we need. In the day, in the middle of the night, you are there. Thank you for your faithfulness as our Heavenly Father. Yet again, always being there when we need you. But forgive us when we don't turn to you and try to go our own way and make our own decisions and trust our own wisdom. Forgive us, God, because we miss out on wonderful guidance and blessings. So, Father, help us to turn our thoughts and minds to you, just shutting out all the voices that are calling to us, demanding our attention. And help us to wait in silence before you every day, all through every day, asking you for help and guidance, for wisdom. For you will guide us when we have big decisions to make and little decisions. You'll help us in every step of the way. Thank you for your grace and your goodness on this day of worship and every day of our lives. We praise you for all that you mean to all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Teacher. I am continuing to visit Sunday school classes, and I was in a great Bible study this morning on hallway F, which is right below our fellowship, in a fellowship hall. And I just want to say again how much I appreciate all that our Sunday school teachers do. From our bed babies in our preschool department, all the way through to our adult classes. For your dedication, your commitment, your Bible knowledge, your Bible study, week in and week out as you prepare lessons for us. And week in and week out as you prepare lessons and activities for our children. And as our church continues to grow through our 11 o'clock service, through our 9 o'clock recreation service, and through our new facilities, I can't think of a better way to assimilate new people into our church family than through the Sunday school. A small group of people, caring, loving people, doing Bible study. So let's continue to be welcoming people as new people walk through our doors. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we have been so blessed. Blessed with wonderful Sunday school teachers, staff, and so many here at Cottage Park that do so many things, many working very quietly behind the scenes. You have blessed us in so many ways. You have blessed us also financially. And help us, dear Lord, to give willingly of our time, our talents, and our financial resources as we continue to reach not just people here in our community, but far beyond the radius of this church. Now, dear Lord, bless these gifts that are given today. May we use them wisely as we continue to do what you have called us to do, and that is to reach others for Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
It has been an interesting week, hasn't it? Where were you when the storm hit? We were here at the church office watching trees fall all around the church, and I was reminded as I was taking Ashton to a dance recital rehearsal yesterday afternoon. We had been out of power since the whole thing started, and as we're driving up Yadkinville Road, right on the corner of Myrtle and Yadkinville, which is where one of the power poles went crazy, there was some guys sitting there in the grass just eating a little lunch, trying to catch up and regroup a little bit, but they were Duke Power guys. They had the truck there ready to work on that pole. I rolled down the window, I tooted the horn, I waved at those guys, gave them the thumbs up. They smiled and waved. And I told Ashton, I said, those guys are rock stars this week, buddy. They are absolutely, every time they pull into a neighborhood, they get a hero's welcome. People come out, and rightly so, because they work hard and will continue to be working hard hours. So please pray for those men and women who are working overtime hours and hours trying to restore our creature comforts, if you will. And it's Father's Day, and we certainly want to give proper respect to Father's Day. And as I fall into the temptation, sometimes preachers, they do when they can't come up with a catchy introduction, they go, well, I'll throw a definition in here. That'll kind of give me a launch point. So I started there when I was starting with a sermon a couple of weeks ago, and I said, let's look up father. See what Webster has to say about father. And I couldn't help but notice that in the dictionary, when I looked up father, the word father appears just before the word fatigued and just after the word fathead. So that really wasn't what I was looking for an introduction. But, you know, if you're a fatigued fathead father, happy Father's Day. You know, if that works for you. But for the rest of us, I thought, well, let me reboot. Let me see if I can come up with a little bit better introductory statement. So here's what I came up with. And that is the fact that there is a grossly oversimplified stereotype and categorization about moms and dads. And here's how it goes. Mothers nurture, fathers protect. That may be accurate to an extent, but I've also watched the films about how mother lions protect their cubs. Have you seen those films? Well, maybe if you haven't seen those, you've seen a soccer mom go after a referee. It's kind of the same deal. You know, so if you want to accept that stereotype, great. And if you want to go with the stereotype of nurturing and protecting, Let me tell you about a sign. One of our church members here was in the mountains, and they saw a picture on a church sign, okay? And so she texted me back and told me, and it said this, the church sign said this, "Guns don't kill, fathers with pretty daughters do." Yeah, and that's not a political statement. That's a statement of the obvious about how strongly dads feel about their daughters and their sons. A couple of months ago, my daughter had her prom at Reagan, and as they were taking pictures, I took a picture on my phone of her and her date, and I sent it to my son, who was down in Greenville. And within a couple seconds, I got a reply back. It said, "Real cute, but remind him I'm only 3 hours away." And I looked at my wife and I said, "He forgot, you know, who his daddy is. If that boy hurts my daughter, he'll be cold before Carson can get here." Yeah, just kidding. Well, maybe not. And as all of these father things were going through my mind, I thought, how do I train my son better to where he doesn't want to kill Ashton's date? You know, how do we train our children? What scriptural principles do we have? And the Bible is full of them. It really is. But I wanted to go back to a classic, to one that I've really tried to shape my ministry after. And it comes from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. You've heard it before. "Bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not soon depart from it." Wonderful message. But then, as preachers do, we try to overthink it. And I thought, okay, it says bring up a child in the way he should go. So what is that way exactly? And as men, I believe, as fathers, I believe it's incredibly important to live godly lives. We have to keep promises concerning our relationship with the Lord. And if we will do that, then our other relationships will fall in line with that. We must be mature in our faith. We must be the spiritual head of the family that God has called us to be. We must be men who commit ourselves to building strong biblical marriages and support the mission of Christ with our time and our talents and our treasures and our prayers, all of those. And as men of Christ, we must devote ourselves to demonstrating the love of Christ in our community and live moral and virtuous lives based on not culture, but Scripture. Live our lives in accordance with scriptural principles. That, I believe, is the way. Bringing up our children in the way that they should go. And if we will do that, the result will not only be the renewal of our own lives, but the renewal of families, of churches, communities, and ultimately the world. Paul is really big on this. If you want to know how to change the world, do it one person at a time. Build relationships and let those relationships multiply and flourish. That's how we'll change our world. It worked in the spreading of the gospel. We just kind of got a little too cool for our own good and have gone away from it. It works. It works because the success of all, the secret of all successful marriages, of all successful parenting, rests in two sets of hands. It rests in the hands of God, and it rests secondly in our hands. And when those hands get linked together, the results are quite remarkable. Lives are changed. Lives improve, families are healed, our culture, our world is healed. And if we lead godly lives, if we lead the kind of lives that God wants us to, then odds are maybe our children will follow that example. Men, I have a couple suggestions. Take these for what they're worth. Number one is say what you mean and mean what you say. And I know that's appeared on t-shirts and mugs and it seems a little overused, but really, teach the word of God. Speak the truth in love. Mean what you say. Say what you mean. Now, I'll confess that there are times when men do not always do that. Ladies, please allow me to translate for your benefit. When a guy says it would take too long for me to explain, what he means is, I really have no idea how it works either. That's what he means by that statement. And when a man says, "Take a break, honey, you're working entirely too hard," what he really means is, "Honey, could you turn the vacuum cleaner off? I can't hear the game." It's a little too close to home. Yeah. When a guy says, "Uh-huh, sure, honey, yes, dear," it means, I think. It's the same as saying, huh? Yeah, what did you say? And when a guy says, that's not what I meant, what he's really saying is, if something I said can be interpreted one or more ways, and one of those ways hurts your feelings or makes you upset, I didn't mean that. I meant the other thing. That's really, we're struggling at that point, okay? So understand. And lastly, when a guy says, I can't find it, sweetheart, what it meant is, I walked into the room, it did not jump into my arms. So therefore, I'm useless on this deal. Help me out here. Speak the word, say what you mean what you say, and laugh about it when you're caught in one of those manisms, all right? The second thing, gentlemen, is in Ephesians and again in Colossians, Paul shares the word that he received from the Lord concerning children and their parents. Here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. And we preach that to our kids, and we preach that to our kids, and we miss verse 4 sometimes. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Paul is giving us a great insight here. Do not provoke, fathers. Do not provoke. Do not exasperate your children. Do not break your promises to them. Do not neglect them. And do not mindlessly indulge their every whim so that they end up losing all respect for you. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Someone once said, and again, it's probably on a coffee mug, you know, a boy loves his mother but will follow his father. That's an awesome responsibility, isn't it? Parenting is never easy. It has incredible challenges. It has incredible pains. It has bittersweet moments. But it has incredible joy. Incredible joy. And we can do no better for our children than personally walking in the way that we should go, the way of our Heavenly Father, to be mature in the faith, be continually open to the transforming power of Christ. I read a story not too long ago about a father who was also a pastor, and his son became very ill, young son, probably 8 or 9 years old. And after the boy had gone through exhaustive series of tests, the father was told the shocking news that his son had a terminal illness and would not live much longer. The youngster had accepted Christ as his Savior, so the father knew at least that in his death he would be ushered into glory, and he took a lot of peace from that. But he also wondered how he was going to tell this young man in the bloom of his youth that he would soon die. After earnestly seeking the Holy Spirit, knowing how to tell, what to tell, when to tell, it was with a heavy heart that he left and he went to the boy's bedside. And he read some scripture to him. And he talked with him. He laughed with him. He prayed with him. And then he gently told him, son, the doctors are really not optimistic. They say that the disease that you have will probably only allow you to live 2 or 3 more days. And then he looked at his son. He said, son, are you afraid to meet Jesus? And blinking away a few tears, the little fella said bravely, no, not if he's like you, Dad. Not if he's like you. It's an awesome responsibility. And the best thing that we can do for our children and our grandchildren is for each of us personally to be right with God, to seek to live in the way of the Lord. Never be satisfied. Continually seek to be transformed into the image of Christ. Paul, in the book of Romans, speaks to this very process, and he tells us how it can be done. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. It's a process. It's a process that we have to instill in our children. And we have less time to do that than we think. Isn't that the truth? We have less time to do that than we think. You know, in the busyness of life, sometimes we think, I've got plenty of time to do this with my child. I have plenty of time to do that. And so we miss those opportunities. Let me challenge you. Take the time. Take those opportunities, whether it's with a child or a grandchild or an adopted child or your prayer partner or whoever you want to spend it with. Take that time, because time is very quick and time is very precious. A Christian songwriter, Stephen Curtis Chapman, wrote a song about this very subject. And the song is entitled Cinderella, and we'd like to share it with you right now.
She spins and she sways to whatever song plays, without a care in the world. And I'm sitting here wearing the weight of the world on my shoulders. It's been a long day and there's still work to do. She's pulling at me saying, Dad, I need you. There's a ball at the castle and I've been invited, and I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I dance with Cinderella while she's here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew. You'll be gone. She says he's a nice guy and I'd be impressed. She wants to know if I approve of the dress. She says, Dad, the prom is just 1 week away, and I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So Cinderella, while she is here in my arms, I know something the prince never knew. Oh, 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 I will dance with Cinderella. I don't wanna miss even one song. 'Cause all too soon the clock will strike midnight. And she'll be
We have a Heavenly Father that cares deeply about us. And just as earthly fathers, we want to spend time with our kids, your Heavenly Father wants to spend time with you. He treasures the time that you open up to Him and run into His arms. He treasures that. This morning, you may want to respond. Either to something God's placed on your heart, something you've seen in worship. We want to give you a chance to do that. And we're going to stand and sing in just a moment. And as we sing, if you're not a believer yet, because I believe ultimately every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, everyone ultimately will believe that Jesus is Lord. It's a question of whether they do it in time. So this is your time. I'd be glad to speak with you about your relationship with Christ. If you're here and you haven't been walking the walk that you feel like you should walk, you haven't been walking in the way that gives praise and glory to God, this is your time. I'd be glad to speak with you. If you're here this morning and say, I'd love to be a part of this fellowship in an official capacity as a church member, there's a lot of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your response is, whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. Thank you. If you would please be seated for just a moment. Let me introduce to you some people. You probably already know them if you've had a chance, because they've been worshiping with us for several weeks now, actually several months for some of them. So we are delighted they're coming there. Faith Hawkins is coming. She's coming from First Baptist Church, North Wilkesboro, by transfer of letter. So we're delighted about her coming. If you will welcome her, and I know that they've already kind of surrounded you and supported you, but if you will welcome, continue to do that, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Good. Stay right here. Our people are going to want to greet you here. Come on back here. Ann Pickett is coming this morning. Come on up, Ann. Ann is a believer. She's experienced believer's baptism, but it wasn't by immersion, and our Constitution says we're going to immerse her, so she's coming as a believer right now. And she's going to get wet all over at some point, okay? So we're delighted about her decision. So if you will encourage her and support her and love her, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Of course. Come on up, Vince and Glennis. This is Vince and Glennis Helmentoler, and they're coming by transfer of letter as well. They're coming from the North State, from Virginia, and they're coming by transfer of letter there, and they're actually neighbors with a lot of you that live out in that area, and they have been worshiping with us for several months, and we're delighted that they're here, again, by transfer of letter. If you will welcome them, continue to encourage them and greet them, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Fantastic. A great group of people here. I know that there are Sunday school classes, there are neighbors that had a lot to do with these decisions. And so we thank you, we bless you for being ministers in your neighborhood and encourage you to continue doing the same. It truly is a blessing to see the fruit of those relationships, and we rejoice in that. Following the benediction and the response, if you would come by and greet them, and I encourage some of our neighbors, if you would, come stand with them. I apologize ahead of time. After 15 years of dance lessons, we have to get to a recital this afternoon, so I may not be here to the very end of the line, so if I miss you, I apologize now ahead of time, but come greet them and extend that College Park welcome to them. Would you join me in standing now for our benediction? Gracious Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we thank you that you are our Heavenly Father, and it challenges us. It challenges us to be to one another what you are to us. a source of love and encouragement and blessing and all those things, Father, that we associate with you. Father, as we go from this place, continue to watch over us. For those who are still in harm's way this morning because of life's circumstances, we do pray that you would be there to watch over and protect them. And Father, we pray that you would use us this week to be a blessing to others. And we'll give you the praise and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.